This is Assembly, a podcast series from the American Friends Service Committee. We're your hosts, Robert Bound.
And I'm Marissa Mazuria-Katz. I'm a journalist and radio reporter currently in Rhode Island.
And I'm an editor and radio presenter based in London.
For this series, we're taking you to the Jordanian capital of Amman,
where in the winter of 2023, the American Friends Service Committee, a Quaker peace and justice organization, arranged a dialogue and exchange for artists and activists from the Middle East and North Africa.
For the second edition of Assembly, we're talking to some of those artists and activists
about how they use culture to build movements
and how they're uniquely poised to help us understand some difficult political and social issues.
I love when ideas are risky. And there's a lot of really going to the unknown.
I think we're falling into that trap of the very institutionalized, very proper, and it's good to shake that.
When you build this healthy relationship with your audience, they always feel the feeling of belonging.
During this second convening, we met people from Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Mauritania, Morocco, Palestine, Sudan, Syria, Tunisia, and Jordan, of which Amman is the capital.
And everyone had lots of reflections and questions.
For example, and as we touched upon in AFSC's previous Assembly series recorded at a similar convening in Casablanca, how do you make art when the world around you is changing so rapidly?
And how can you harness the power of art as a tool for resilience and social change when your own cultural landscape is beholden to turbulent political realities?
For this episode, we spoke with Hatem Salama, a program officer for the Ford Foundation in Cairo, about the behind-the-scenes work he's doing to realize ambitious ideas and projects in and around the Middle East.
As we'll hear, he's optimistic about the changes afoot and how, in his role, he can make big dreams come to life.
You're working with the Ford Foundation now. I'm sure you're a man in demand, therefore, funding various projects across the Middle East and North Africa. Can you tell me about some of the debates that are going on in the funding world?
You can look at it from different sides. One is that the learning journey where foundations or donors themselves actually go through. Like, how do they come up with their strategies? How do they decide on these topics or areas of work or focuses, country, geographical or thematic? And from there, this is it's a lot of work behind it. But the bigger questions always come that when they propose something sometimes, then the grantees that we receive it can say, no, from where did you come up with these ideas? Like, this is not what we need. And all is this, like, between that extreme of, like, this is what we think that we should go and or should happen, and from those who actually implement the work and say, no, this is not what we need. Between this, there's a huge learning space. So how you can fill in this vacuum? So the bigger questions is, like, how can we contribute as the people who are closer to the problems to how we can approach the solutions, how we can sit on the table when you decide how resources will be allocated. And all of these questions, I think it's the duty of grantees to educate funders as much as the duty of the funders and donors to approach with humbleness and learning that there's a lot that we don't know. And we are lucky that if we know what we don't know, but the scariest part is that we don't know what we don't know.
You were on the other side, you're a theatre practitioner, you're looking for funding, and now you've gone over to the other side. Does that give you a unique view on what people want and how people present to funders, such as yourself, what they want to do?
I would say, in a way, it helps a lot that I spent almost 24 years of my life asking for funding, and now for like a year now, I'm on the other side. So it helps that when organizations come, and since I have been in that position exactly, the discussion is steered differently. I share immediately, like I just crossed the side, like I came from that side to the other one. So I'm very interested on what do you really want to do? So don't use the terms or the topics that I have in my strategy. Just forget about that. What do you want to do as an organization? What is your main objective or purpose? Where do you want to develop strategically? What is the need that you see on the ground? Because you are the one who has the knowledge of what is happening. And then it's my task to find the connections between what really needs to happen and the strategy.
I just wanted to get a sense of the scale of the things that you fund and potentially fund. Could you give us an example or two of some of the things, some of the larger scale things that you're working on?
As you know, Ford Foundation is focusing on social justice. And this can be approached in so many different ways, from topics that concerns gender to technology and society, the effects of that, natural resources and climate change. So, I mean, it's a lot. But then how we can support that change? For instance, my area of work is arts, culture, and media. So, for instance, one of the examples I can, that we are supporting Arij, which is a network for investigative journalists.
30 تقريراً معمقاً و 30 podcast و 50 تقرير تدقيق معلومات.
All have the same goal, to identify and expose corruption, wrongdoing and fraud, and give everyone in this world the right to know information that powerful people want to hide.
And they provide training, they provide also support for different aspects of how they can become high professional investigative journalists, for fact checkers. And by this way, you support the public at large to have access to reliable information. What we aspire for is definitely there's a collaboration between the governments in the future, hopefully, between the civil society, between the different elements of that holds a society together. So looking at that and how you would approach it, it's our part to allocate the, or like support allocating the resources that we have to the players that actually are conscious of their role, of their relationship with the other players around them in the ecosystem, if we use this metaphor, and then they can support each other in moving things forward.
You presumably, when you're met with a proposal from a group of passionate people, you want to hear the passion and the belief as well as the sort of solidity of their plans, presumably. There seems to be a lot of perhaps getting caught up in some of the corporate language of international social justice here. But I just wondered what you thought of that.
The idea is that actually how you can, in a very conscious way, use the resources that you have to allow some experiments. So you are taking risks, you are trying things, you are not sure that they will work out or not. And it's totally fine, because this is how things can develop. Especially when we are looking at a complex paradigm, the best way to approach it is like this safe to fail experiment. So you do encourage some experiments and then you allocate part of these resources there. But then you have another part of the resource, which is mainly the biggest one, where you actually work with either solid ideas that they are clear, they have a clear planning, but they embed a lot of learning in them. So it's not just that because we have done it before and we know that it will work again, we keep supporting it, but actually there is a learning aspect of keeping pushing the limits, of keeping trying things. But there is a very strong and solid base.
We've got this far in our conversation, Hatem, without me actually asking you kind of what the state of philanthropy and funding is for social justice movements and artistic projects and things as well in the region. I wonder whether you can tell us a little bit about that.
There are, of course, lots of the international global players that we all know, either from governmental like support, like the EU, for example, USAID, or other big foundations like Ford Foundation, OSF, Drosos, and so on. So there are all of these different players. But I think what is interesting is that we can see here and there in the region, there is an emerging of, I would say, a local and sometimes regional interest in philanthropy. And it's just about how you can engage with these newcomers or people that have done the philanthropy in different areas, like they would support, let's say, health or education, or so sending a lot of students to get their education degrees to other universities, and how you can engage with them. If I'm talking about arts and culture, seeing how relevant is arts and culture to the development of societies. So there is a developing scene that is, I think, when it comes to philanthropy in the region, that is emerging. And it's also part of our, let's say, responsibility as donors and foundations that has been working in the region for such a long time, to engage with them, to share our experience and learning, but also to listen to their fresh perspective. Like they are coming with a new ideas, new interest, and it will be good to engage and have discussions with them.
And I'm sure the Ford Foundation and you personally have a lot of deep relationships across the MENA region. But I wonder how easy it always is, and whether there are sort of some unforeseen barriers to essentially handing out, you know, writing a check. I know it's a lot deeper than that, but acts of philanthropy often go unrewarded in certain spheres and in certain, under certain regimes and stuff. I wonder whether you'd like to elaborate on that at all, Hatem.
So what I can share is that we have very clear internal processes of how we do that. There's a lot of due diligence that happens when it comes to each country's context. and there's a lot of legal and compliance checks that needs to take into place. So everything is done within the legal framework in respect to what every country and every context is offering. At the same time, of course, it can be understood that we are working sometimes in areas that is pushing the limits a little bit. Our grantees, our groups that we work with, in the benefits of the society, of course. And this is where being respectful, but at the same time aware of which kind of risks that you can take. And if you take that risk, you are willing to stand by it. So when we are clear that we stand by our grantees. So doing all the behind the scene work, which takes a lot of energy and a lot of resources, is crucial to be able to keep doing what we do.
Tell us a little bit about the danger of trends in philanthropy.
There is different areas that we should be looking out for when it comes to these trends. Because one is that when, let's say, when a donor or foundation are interested in a certain topic, and then, of course, because they are passionate, they are interested, they see the relevance, they start supporting that. And then they also start kind of bringing and pulling other donors that they want to say, okay, come and join us in that, because it's really interesting. It's really important. They have done the research. They have done the preparation. They have a very solid, let's say, case to present that it's relevant. And then some other donors might come and join that, which immediately means that they are pulling fund out from other areas, from other work. So these trends, as much as it translates on the donors and foundations seen in the same in that way, it also translates on the ground in the same way, which means that certain projects and experiments that they started, they have been working for 2-3 years, and they started to show results, and they are maturing and they are developing, out of a sudden, they are out of fashion. They are not a trend anymore. So you cut the development in a very crucial time when it is just becoming to be, have very solid grounds, they have built the experience, they can develop it steadily in the future. And this is the risk that the implementers face all the time. And you can see it's a very difficult cycle to go through. It doesn't mean that we cannot innovate. It doesn't mean that we cannot change trends. I'm not against that, of course. It's just that looking at the bigger and the overview, how it is moving and the complexity it is, and the time that is needed to develop experience and develop capacities in a certain direction, it should be taken into consideration with like just moving with the trends.
Do you have something that you would just love to be proposed?
I love when ideas are risky and there's a lot of really going to the unknown. Try things that there's a lot of energy and passion, and it's a risk that can open doors that we haven't imagined that there are doors there. So, and I think of that because when you just think of everything and you have a very, very clear plan, it shows something, but at the same time, you are very confined. You have put lots of limitations already. And I think if you have a clear objective and then from there, you know, okay, this is what I know, this is what I need to know, and this is the area where I will take a risk to find out how it will go. And this is where a lot of unexpected happens, a huge learning emerge, but also a more solid knowledge that then you can build on to the future.
Hatem Salama, thank you very much indeed.
That was the Ford Foundation Program Officer Hatem Salama talking to Assembly, a podcast series from the American Friends Service Committee. I'm Marissa Mazria-Katz.
And I'm Robert Bounds. Thank you for joining us.